720 WGN is Dean here with you in for Lou Houtsmarts Radio until 10 o'clock. And we are getting your resolutions at 312-981-7200. Coming up after the break, we've got Preparedness Guru. We're going to talk about not only having that resolution to be happy and healthy, but safe and prepared in your home coming up in 2022. Vince Davis is going to join us. So keep it here, 720 WGN. WGN is Dane here with you, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio on New Year's Day. And I see in Jack Abley producing with the bumper music. We are beyond our required holiday bumpers, right? Right? Something a little more kicking. As people look towards 2022 and they make those resolutions, some are going to be to win the lottery. And of course, we've been resolving to do that all the time. I keep saying to my wife, Esther, I was like, do we got to buy it again? I mean, it's about time. I think you're due, right? But we don't win the lottery, but you resolve to do some different things. Some of those ones we've mentioned throughout the course of the program, you want to maybe lose a little weight, get healthy, stop gambling, you know, be nicer to people, or maybe some of those things. One of the things that we are going to talk about now is people are going to want to be safer, be prepared, especially the last couple of years. That is certainly something that is on their mind. In studio, excited to have a longtime friend, great guest. He is a director of disaster services, our very own Feeding America right here in Chicago. Nationally, he's led efforts at Amazon, Sony, PlayStation, Walgreens, and more. And you'll be hearing him with our Preparedness Matters Minutes coming up on WGN Radio and nationally in 2022. Vince Davis, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane. Happy New Year, and glad to be here with you this morning.
Oh, it's great to have you. And you got out of see, that's one of the things about a Vince Davis is he's a go-getter. So he's up, he's about, he's mobile, he is in person here in studio. That's more than I can say for a lot of people. But so how's the new year feel so far? Does it feel pretty good?
Yeah, feels different. Of course, we've all been through a really horrendous last couple of years, so every year becomes a little bit more precious in terms of just being here. So just glad to be here, glad to be healthy at this point, and knock on wood, and you know, really looking forward to a great 2022.
As a guy who's had his hand on the pulse of the preparedness world, and I always ask this question, are there more disasters happening now? Is there more things happening now? Do we need to be more prepared now? Or is it just that there's so much more media and just we're just hearing about it so much more? And your thoughts as a guy who's had his hand on the pulse of so much of it, in on a lot of those things over the years, like everyone says, hey, great to see 2021 go. It was terrible. Is it just been getting worse and worse?
Well, it has, and it's going to get more terrible, unfortunately, with climate change and all of the other factors that go into disaster risk and disaster risk reduction. We're seeing a lot more disasters, and they're a lot more severe. I mean, look at the tornadoes down in Kentucky and Tennessee and southern Illinois a couple of weeks ago, and just in this week, Colorado, 115-mile-an-hour winds whipped a wildfire that literally chased 1,000 people from their neighborhoods and burned a bunch of homes. So this is the new normal in disasters.
Well, when it comes to, this is Houtsmarts Radio, Lou Manfredini, and some of it is just, you know, have your roof that works or fix your leaky faucet or any of the things that people have. I remember back in the day with hurricanes, and then it led to different building codes in Florida where you had to have, your house had to be able to withstand, you know, 100-mile winds or things like that with the fires. Is there, Vince, going to be maybe some requirements or maybe new products built where your house has to be fireproof? You know, maybe or some, or maybe windproof to be able to withstand tornadoes in the middle of the country. Is that even possible?
Well, there's a lot of things out there right now, and unfortunately, most of those things, as we know, cost money. For example, there's a tornado-proof home that you can have.
Is it underground?
No, it's actually above ground, and it looks like a normal suburban house, but it's concrete reinforced throughout, and it's retrofitted with all the piping and everything in the roof that it could literally withstand an F4, F5 tornado. However, the cost of building one of those homes is probably prohibitive for most of us.
Is it the kind of thing where you remember when solar was first invented and it was like, okay, that's wonderful. But who could afford that, right? Who could afford to do that? And it just wasn't out there. And as some of these advances in preparedness and technology and cost, you know, efficiency become more the norm, the price seems to go down as people become more aware and other companies get involved for some of the things in the preparedness side when it comes to homes. Do you see that happening? Is it always going to be where you're saying like, yeah, it's wonderful, but you know, who could afford to do it, where it'll be more approachable for people?
Well, there's a lot of debate about that, but what the reality is that most people in their homes, the average citizen, has probably 90% of the stuff that they need already in their existing house to help them when there's a disaster or an emergency. And by the way, when we're talking about disasters, look, everybody says prepare for the big one, the big earthquake or the big tornado or the big flood. But the reality is disasters happen every day. And a house fire, a kitchen fire in your home is a disaster. A flood in your basement is a disaster. So you need to prepare for all of those small things that could happen that could really disrupt your life and make your life miserable, or in some cases cost you your life.
Yeah, we see that all the time. Even the Chicagoland area, we take consideration that we don't have, you know, poisonous spiders and snakes and mountain lions, and we don't have hurricanes for the most part. But it happens all the time, whether there's, you know, a microburst or whether it's a lot of rain and your basement floods. All those things are personal. I mean, it's different levels, right? But those are personal disasters.
Absolutely. And those personal disasters can turn into catastrophes depending on who you are and where you are. If you're elderly, if you are, living in a certain living situation, one small thing like a kitchen fire could be life changing for somebody.
So what we always talk about are people think, hey, there's a one-stop shop, some kind of easy fix for things, and mention the, as far as, some of the things that you've got, the houses that are windproof or tornado-proof or flood-proof or any of those things. And one of the things that happened a handful of years ago, and I know you've got a strong opinion on this, is they said, okay, well, you don't need to worry about anything. Just get yourself maybe a NOAA weather radio and get yourself a disaster kit. So you get yourself a little box, right, that has everything that you need to know. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to know. But when the disaster happens, no matter what it is, then you just refer to your kit, find it, hopefully it's someplace at the ready, and then you open it and all your problems are solved.
Well, as you know, and we've had this conversation many times, you and I wrote an article recently on LinkedIn about why I became the anti-disaster kit guy. And the reason I wrote the article is not because I have anything against having a disaster kit, but the reality is that aren't going to do it because it costs money, it takes time, and it's really not something that's part of your normal course of living. And then secondly, there's no debate or even discussion, even among emergency managers, that a disaster kit is really, when you get down to it, nothing more than a convenience item. There's a lot of things that you can do short of packing a bunch of, crackers and peanut butter and in a little plastic container. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, by the way. I mean, that's okay if you can do it. But the reality is most people don't live their lives like that. My wife, I can hear her laughing. She's listening on the air because she was looking for a flashlight in the house the other day, couldn't find one. The barber's kids never have a haircut, right?
Well, okay, so you didn't have to divulge that, but I feel that just shows a certain side of you. It humanizes you, Vince, as a disaster guru, that even you may not have a flashlight or batteries, and that's the kind of thing, if you had to have one thing, and it's the kind of thing that I don't typically have, is the flashlight would be one of those things. If you had to pick like two or three things that maybe people should have that maybe aren't glamorous or don't, it's not like a backpack fire extinguisher set or maybe some sort of neoprene fire suit or whatever it is, but is like a flashlight, do you have like a couple things that would, in lieu of a kit, that people should have?
Yeah, two things that always come to mind. One, there's things that you already have in your house, like canned food. You have canned food in your pantry or in your cabinets. You need a first aid kit of some kind, whether it's Band-Aids or bandages or whatever, and you really need a fire extinguisher. I would highly suggest that every home have a fire extinguisher because that can really not only save your home, but it could save your life. So if there were two things that I would say everybody should have, it's a flashlight, a first aid supplies, and a fire extinguisher.
When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Vince Davis. We're going to talk a little bit about Chicago, lifelong Chicagoan, but he has lived and worked and prepared and dealt with emergencies and disasters all around the country. Do we have it any better than anyone else? What are some of the things specific to Chicago that we have to be prepared for and maybe prepare our homes for? And then he's going to have some different publications, some things, you know, a little bit of homework for you, things that you should get together that may serve you better than a kid as far as being prepared. So keep it here. It's Dane in for Lou on House Smarts 720 WGN. It is Dane here with you in for Lou on House Smarts on New Year's Day. And as people are kind of having those New Year's resolutions, if one of your resolutions was to have a great day in front of the television or in person, practically dying in frigid temperatures for the Winter Classic, this is, I think it's just asked and answered. You know, this is going to be a great sports day. We've got preparedness guru, disaster expert, leader at Preparedness Matters, and you'll hear him here on WGN Radio and nationally with the Preparedness Matters Minutes. Vince Davis is with us. Vince, welcome back.
Hi, Dane.
I know you are, as well as being a great resource for inspiration, advice, and direction in the disaster and preparedness world. You're also a big sports fan, and this is the kind of thing earlier on the program, and you heard it, as many of the listeners did. They should have all appointment listened. They heard the maintenance and cleaning guy for the United Center, right? And the United Center, as a person, Lou had mentioned that he had been to the old Chicago Stadium, and I had been there many times as well. I'm sure you have been there.
Absolutely.
As well. It's got to be a lot better to be the maintenance guy for the United Center, because the old Chicago Stadium, it was, you know, from a fan's, I know that we all heard from some of the players, and whether it's the Bulls players or the Blackhawks players, just how horrible it was from a facility standpoint for them. But for fans, it was, the sight lines were great. You were right on top of the action. That was a pretty great place.
It was, but boy, was it very long in the tooth before they finally tore it down and built the United Center. So it's a much better experience for the fans, certainly.
Yeah. Well, see, when it comes to preparedness and resolutions for the Chicago Bulls, I know, Vince Davis, you have resolved to go to some more Bulls games, and I know a lot of fans are probably doing that as well, because the Bulls, they're great. They're really good.
They are. They have a really great team, and fan base is getting really excited and energized again. It's been a lot of years since we've made the playoffs, I think 5 years. So
yeah,
people are really excited about what's going to happen in the upcoming playoffs.
You mentioned the word excited, and that's one of the things this team is. It's a young team. It's a vibrant team. It's a team that is having a lot of fun, that is a lot of fun, because regardless of whether they maybe eked into the playoffs or not, the last administration, there was just boring. There was just no excitement, right? It just didn't have any personality.
Well, I think people got over the Michael Jordan era hangover and realized
after like 20 years. But that's as good as we got. I mean, hey, the 85 Bears are still like the team, right? Even to this day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you think about the United Center. That is one of the things that we in the Chicagoland area have for us. And we've got great. It's one of the greatest sports towns there is when it comes to preparedness and for your home. As a guy who has long time been from Chicago, lives in the Chicago area, but you have worked all around the country. Are there specific things that homeowners should do or that people should do to be as prepared and as safe as possible in our area?
Absolutely. In the Midwest, we have something that everybody is very familiar with called basements. Many areas of the country, like California, where I lived in San Diego.
Did they have basements in California? I mean, I can imagine they don't have fireplaces, but...
No basements in California, because you don't want to be in a basement when there's an earthquake.
Gotcha. Good point.
Many places in the South, because of the soil, like the sand in places like Florida and the Carolinas, don't have basements. Midwest, we have basements. We also use our basements as living space or spillover living space. We have a rec room and a pool table. And
it's the best part of the house.
The best part of the house. It's the man cave in many cases. And what we need to realize is that some years ago, FEMA, Federal Emergency Management, changed the rules with regard to damage in a major disaster in basements. They no longer consider the basement to be living space. So that means the only thing that they will cover is what they call essential damage, which is your hot water heater, your furnace, your structural part of the basement. So if you have any stored clothing down there or a big screen TV, it's not covered. And many times your insurance won't cover things that are below ground. So you want to make sure that your insurance policy accounts for all of the things that you could lose in your basement, because basements flood. I've experienced personally three basement floods over the last 10 years where literally lots of stuff got ruined and stuff that you can never replace.
It's the kind of thing that happens all the time, and it's kind of a double-edged sword. So on the property tax side, you benefit, right, because you're not paying for it as living space, but also on the insurance side, you're liable for it. Is that something that people should either look into on their homeowner policy, or is there not even a policy that you can get for that, or is there some other way to kind of handle it other than, you know, not have anything valuable down there? Because people love their basements. That's just a great space.
Well, absolutely. Well, look at your policies, but some common sense things are to mitigate that by making sure you do things like have an electrician install your electrical plugs 8 or more inches from the floor, so that if it does flood, it won't reach to the level of getting into your electrical system.
Gotcha.
You know, other things like having your basement permanently sealed with one of those PermaSeal type companies that will seal your basement against, if you can afford to do that. But the other things you can do are just some common sense things. Take some crates and put your stereo system or your other electronics up off the floor. Don't store any clothing in the basement. If it gets wet, you'll have to throw it out. It won't ever be serviceable again. So make sure that if you do have a basement that you that you're careful what you put down there and the value of that. And then if you can, just do some very common sense things like keep stuff off the floor.
When it comes to preparedness for the weather, it's coming up a little bit. You know, it's hard to tell. You think global warming, we hear that, and we've had sort of an odd, I mean, it was sort of a rainy, warm Christmas, and I think we're going to have some pretty cold weather coming up. But are there any things weather-related that, as a guy who's out there preparing people, that, you know, we're Chicagoans, so we get it. So I think that we sort of take it as a badge of honor that we can handle cold temperatures, that we can drive in snow, but is there anything out there for listeners to consider?
Absolutely. Some people don't do common sense things, again, like make sure you disconnect your water hoses in the backyard. You know, secure your lawn furniture. You're going to have gusty winds this afternoon and blowing snow. And if your yard furniture is still out in the yard, it's going to be in a lot of trouble. Make sure that you have salt for your driveways, and consider things like, you know, space heaters that automatically shut off, or, you know, unplug those things when you're not using them. But, you know, mostly things like disconnecting hoses, blocking off air vents, anything that could intrude on your physical space in the house, make sure you have things secured, that everything is kind of battened down, so to speak.
Well, you mentioned the space heater side of things, and as things get colder, people use those. You also mentioned a little bit of the technologies that's out there, creating products that are a little safer than maybe the ones that we had in the past, where it was maybe like kerosene heaters or things like that. Now, are there ones that you can recommend or that people would think of that are either, and I'm thinking about sort of what you said, where it's there, if it, I guess, overheats, it will shut off. If it gets knocked over, it will shut off, some of those?
Yeah, some of those things, and also anything that could create a flame. You know, there are now, you know, hot air heaters that don't create an actual flame. Anything that can create a flame can create a hazard. So you want to avoid those, you know, if you can. They're coming out with lots of great products that you don't have to have a flame going. And literally they have space heaters that will shut off if you knock them over.
Right. Yeah, that is exactly what you want to do, a little technology in there with all of the heat you mentioned. And let the listeners know, we're talking with Vince Davis, preparedness guru with Preparedness Matters. You're going to hear the Preparedness Matters Minutes here on WGN and nationally coming up in 2022. And a little bit of teachable moments. You've got some homework for us. I know you've got some publications. You say if you're going to get something, rather than a kit, get these books.
Absolutely. Well, there's two things. One thing that people don't do is prepare for recovery. You know, there's are going to be unavoidable disasters or emergencies, that things that no matter how much you prepare for, but you need to also prepare for what happens after. There's a great book that was written by a friend of mine and a colleague named Sean Scott called The Red Guide to Disaster Recovery. Sean is a 40-plus year restoration contractor who tells you all the secrets about what to expect after the disaster, how to avoid scams of contractors coming in trying to get your money, how to avoid getting ripped off by insurance companies and others that really are not out to help you but are out to capitalize on your misfortune. So The Red Guide to Disaster Recovery is a great book. You can find that online at theredguidetorecovery.com. The other is written by another colleague, Dr. Jeffrey Simmons, who's an MD, who wrote a book called Common Sense and Disaster Preparedness. And it's a great handbook that gives you some really key insights into all of the things that you need to do, no matter where you live, whether you live in Chicago or on the East Coast or West Coast, you know, things that you can do to help prepare yourself and your family and your home against anything that could happen.
We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com for that. Is this the kind of thing, Vince, where people should just have this on hand, and then if something happens, make sure you have a flashlight if it's dark and you can read up on things? Or is this something maybe you should get and go over with your family in advance?
Well, that's a good point, Dane, and I'm glad you brought that up. Every family should have a family disaster plan. You should, first of all, and this is a verbal conversation between you and the family, of two escape routes from your house. Not one, but two. How would you get out if you had to get out in a hurry? Two escape routes from your neighborhood. What if you live on a cul-de-sac or a dead-end street? How would you get out of the neighborhood if all of a sudden the fire trucks came and they said, everybody out? That's what happened to the folks in Colorado the other day. Literally, people were woken out of their beds at 3 a.m. and told, you have to get out and you have to leave now.
Wow. Okay, so we'll have links up for that kind of stuff, too. But for the places to, whether it's social media, I know you're active on LinkedIn, and for Preparedness Matters, like, where is the place where people can go get more information, get in contact with you if they want to?
Absolutely. You can reach me at a couple of places. One is www.preparednessmatters.net. And the other is my personal website, which is Vince Davis CEM, Certified Emergency Managers, vincedaviscem.com, where you can find out more about me and my work in this area. And those are the main places. Also, you can find me on LinkedIn and on Facebook.
We know that you're going to resolve to make America safer, to make Chicagoland safer, to make people safer, have their homes be safer. Vince Davis, personally, outside of maybe getting a Beggar's Pizza, which you and I both enjoyed the other day, do you have any, are you a big resolutions guy, or do you do that?
Well, I try to resolve the one thing, and that is, you know, everybody wants to lose weight and, you know, have more hair and do all those other things for New Year's. I try to resolve just to be a better person, and as somebody who's into preparedness, resolve to do everything you can to prepare yourself and then leave the rest to the Creator.
All right. Well, thanks, Vince, for everything you're doing. Thanks for coming in. Thanks to everybody who listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. And enjoy the rest of your New Year's Day, everybody.